and welcome to the call today. This is Kerr Mortensen. This is the Persuasion, Motivation, Influence, Negotiation, Self-Mastery call. And we want to make sure that everyone's on the right track. I know many of you are doing it versus Skype. You can email the messages via whypersuasion.com. If it's recording, you'll have to set them later. If you're live on the phone, you can ask them right through the phone. So for those that are new, listening overseas, I know we've got quite a few from Japan today. Now we're just going to spend 15, 20 minutes talking about one of the laws of persuasion, one of the principles of wealth, and then just open up for questions and how to apply it and how to do it, and that's what we are going to do. So let's get into one of the 12 laws of persuasion. One that is really interesting, well, I think they're all interesting since there's all 12, is the law of scarcity. How do you get someone to take immediate action? And you've seen the stories, the Friday after Thanksgiving, they call it Black Friday because of the traffic problems. People waiting in line to get that last item, that last DVD. And I don't think they're actually human or live in their community, but when there's just not enough to go around, and someone might take it away from people, it's called psychological reactance. People freak out, and they want to get a piece for them. Now, here's the challenge with scarcity and urgency. You give somebody 4.5 months to pay their taxes, they take longer. And here's the other challenge. It's abused and overused. I mean, really, how often can a furniture store go out of business? Have you thought about that? How often can a furniture store go out of business? It happens all the time, or you get the cell phone store, and, the sale ends today, and you're like, I don't think so, and you don't believe it. And that's a challenge. So if you don't give them a reason to buy today, make a decision today, they won't, because we want the easiest way out, path of least resistance. Well, I don't want to think about it, and they won't. But if you do use it in the wrong way, it has the opposite effect. So I have to talk about real legitimate scarcity here, how to use this. Remember, if they're going to think about it, come back later, chances are they're not going to do it. So we need to talk about the best ways to implement this. We see it, for example, on eBay. eBay drives me nuts. You find an item, I pay $20 for that, it's all it's worth. And then that outbid notice comes. Somebody from Wisconsin, maybe a 90-year-old lady, outbids me. And I'm having mad feelings. They've taken it away from me, and I bid more than I wanted to. That's why auctions get so much more money than just selling it outright. You see, the thrill of winning usually outweighs the pain of the price that we pay. So when you take a look at this, that the law of scarcity plays a large role in the persuasion process. You have to realize that opportunities are always more valuable and exciting when they are scarce and less available. We want to be the ones that own the rare item, the last one on the shelf. The more scarcity, urgency increases, the more the item increases in value. The greater the urge, we want to own it. So we know it's abused. We know that, but we still need it. That's just reality. Because if you restrict the availability of a product or service, you can restrict time, you can restrict information, or you put limits on items to pique your audience interest. The less there are of an item, of course, it increases in value. There are a variety of ways to do this. But realize that whenever choice is limited or threatened, we want it more. It's called psychological reactance. We feel uptight. We want our freedom back. We want it. We can't believe it's been taken away from us. It's not only physical products, but it could also be in time, information, price, or knowledge. So feeling the threat of potential loss, we experience what's called experiencing reactance, psychological reactance, and when we react to the restrictions or being told, no, you can't have it, we actually want it more. We see this in teenagers all the time. You can't date them. You can't do this. Romeo and Juliet, Adam and Eve, where can we go? I mean, we see it all the time. So your job in scarcity and marketing is to create a demand, to create a lure, to make them want to make a decision today in a real, sincere, legitimate way. We're not just making things up, because they're going to see right through that. So anytime someone feels their freedom to choose, think, or act is being restricted, they will attempt to restore the freedom. We are psychologically driven to reduce it. Again, this is called psychological reactions. This is an intense motivational state where we become emotional, single-minded, maybe even irrational sometimes. This happens when we feel a threat to our ability to make a choice or even our personal freedom. And so we need to realize, you know, what's going on here and how can we do this in a real way. So we have to talk about how do you do this. You know, if you're selling raffle tickets, there's inherent scarcity involved to where the time of the raffle, the number of tickets. If you want to get volunteers for a committee, you might want to say we're only selecting two people. We also see this at banks. Isn't this amazing? Banks need your business. They need to loan your money or they won't be in business. But you have to persuade them why you're worthy of the same money you put in their bank. By selling tickets to a Broadway show, you know, it might be the last week, the last time the star is there. It might be the show starts in 30 minutes. You know, marketing a new cell phone. We know there's another one coming out, but maybe it's a limited edition, something neat, something special. I was opening a new restaurant. It could be the number of seats. It's the only first week, a special visit with the chef, a special kind of food they won't be offering later. Those are all things that create urgency and scarcity. So your job is to take a look at the potential loss versus the potential gain. It drives us to action. Here's what I'm trying to say. The emotions of a losing $100 are more intense than the emotions of gaining $100. That is something that's really interesting to psychologists. So your job is to kind of figure out, all right, how does this work? How can we use this? So let me give you some examples to kind of apply to you and what you're doing, your product and service. It's got a question here about, does this apply to every culture? And the answer is yes. This is human nature 101. It doesn't matter the culture, whether you're in Asia or in Africa, South America, North America, Caribbean. This is just human nature. I mean, you put young kids in a room, and there's 20 toys, okay? 20 toys. And the person says, those 20 toys, you can play with anyone you want, just don't play with that one. Don't play with that one. There's a little clear obstruction to it. Don't play with that one. The kids approached that three times faster. There was a cookie study done where they had these cookies, they're trying them out, and they get 10 cookies. And then the person would come over and say, sorry, here's two. You can only have two. Now, when they said it was a mistake, people were okay with that, but they say, well, like, there's great demand, people want these cookies, we can't give you 10, we can only give you two. They rated the cookies as better, tastier, and they wanted more versus when they thought it was a mistake. So those are some interesting things. You also have, of course, shoe stores. We talked about that. Last one left in your size. We have, you know, limit four. Why send you ice cream? Both store to buy ice cream. I buy four. Why'd you buy four? She says, I said, I don't know, limit four. If you're selling a real estate or a car and you have three people that are interested, have them show up all at the same time. They'll want it more because other people are interested. Home shopping networks have a countdown clock, not available in stores. They have quantity is limited. Those type of things make a big difference. See, when scarcity enters the picture, some interesting things tend to happen. So the scarcity has the picture, you feel the ability of a product, the timing, there's something there. We talked about, you know, Adam and Eve and Romeo and Juliet. That's all part of that process. We see it all the time. Marketing. Disney is great. You know, Walt Disney. They sell a lot of DVDs. They have a lot of movies, obviously. So they did this. I don't know if it exists. They say, look, last time this decade, and these will go back into the Disney vault. Really? Okay. Now, I don't know if there's a Disney vault, but they keep their word. They pull them, and they say last time this century, last time this decade. Antique stores, trying to figure out, you know, antiques, they go sell for a lot of money. country clubs that have exclusive membership where you have to qualify to spend all that money. You have going out of business sales. We see that all the time. You know, not available in stores, exclusive one-time offers. Talking about qualifying for a loan. We're only selecting 10 for the new training program. There's a waiting list. All forms of scarcity. All forms of scarcity. One that's interesting, and I, you know, travel a lot on airlines. I say, well, you know, I'm going to fly here, and how, what does it look like? Well, you know, there's a few seats, but, you know, we can't guarantee it. You know, we can hold your seat for 24 hours. These seats could sell out. We don't know the demand. They do that. There could be hundreds of seats available. They are trained not to tell you. Okay? So you need to understand exactly how this works, this trigger. So we need to realize that when people feel they can't have it, they can't do it. One that's really interesting that, where was it? It was my hometown, actually. Orange County, California is where I grew up. And something really interesting happened with the water supply and what was going on. And let me kind of share that with you here a little bit. This gets really interesting as far as what's going on and just human nature in general. So this is what happens. It was announced there was a dire need. Well, a couple of things happened. There wasn't a lot of rainfall. We're going into a drought, and they were reconstructing a major water main, okay? So people are telling them, okay, please conserve water. You know, prepare for the worst. We don't want a ration, but it could happen. Please help us out. And because we don't want to do this. In the future, you might not be able to water your lawns. If you know anything about Southern Californians, they got to have green lawns. That's just part of us. That's part of who we are. And so what happened? Well, the water consumption increased. Water was now scarce, and there might be rationing in the future. So everyone, because it was going to change, were watering their lawns. They were, you know, filling up their pool just in case. Those are the different things that were happening to that. So it's kind of interesting that human nature is that way, but that's kind of how it is. That's how it works. Here's an interesting one, and we talk about juries. Secret information can be also in that category. So here's what happens. You know, when the lawyer reveals something, and the judge says, "Oh, jury, don't disregard that comment." It actually gives it more value when if they just didn't do it. And here's the interesting part that you need to understand is that. This was at the Chicago Law School. They were doing a mock jury. And they said, hey, the defendant was insured against the loss. The damages went up 13%. But when the judge told the jury they had to ignore the information, pretend you didn't hear that, the damages went up to 40%. That was a $13,000 difference by saying it was secret information. So scarcity is necessary to help people make a decision. I'm a firm believer you have a moral ethical obligation to help people persuade themselves, to persuade them, because if they don't, someone else is going to persuade them. Creating scarcity helps your prospects make the decision. It eliminates the amount of time you waste tracking down people who are undecided. I'm thinking about it. We'll see. In sales, it's called the takeaway close. Well, you're probably not interested. You don't want to do it. And if they say, yeah, you're right, then you move on. They say, no, I am. You can kind of gauge their interests. Another interesting one is clearance stores where they put sold signs on furniture or TVs. Someone else has gotten it. We better get ours while we can. So how do you use this? Let's talk about this, and we'll open it up for questions. Just got a question about the best way to apply it to make sure it's legitimate. So let me give you a formula here. Well, the first thing before we do the formula is there's got to be a deadline. Point of no return, a reason to take action. There might be limited space. Limited numbers, limited access. So if someone's competing for a limited resource, not everyone can win, not everyone gets involved. They might miss out a great deal. You know, then they might lose out. The potential loss of freedom, limit to their actions, restricting their freedom. All of those would be part of creating that urgency for them. So you need to have these in place. You need to know exactly how to use those. But here's kind of some of the latest research that I want to share with you on this and kind of walk you through this. Here's an interesting thing. We talk about scarcity. It's a study done with beef, actually. So this company, what they did was they sold beef to restaurants, you know, pretty standard. And this is what they did. First group of customers heard the normal pitch. The second group said, hey, beef's going to be in short supply. And the third group was told about, hey, there's going to be scarcity, and no one else knows it. It's a secret. We haven't released it to the public yet. And that group, so when they said it was going to be scarce, it doubled the sales. But when they said it's going to be a secret, they bought six times more. That is how that works. Even in simple things, when a child's photographed, well, you know, you can choose these now, but if you don't choose them today, we're going to delete them. Kind of a mean form of scarcity. So if you can say limited quantity, limited space, one of a kind, hard to find, less opportunity, once in a lifetime, more valuable, gone forever, unique features, secret information, you're selecting for a team, special discount, time constraints, depending event, limit four, limit two, you're going to miss out, all increases that scarcity. So here's what I want to share. This is a question coming from Australia. I think it's almost bedtime there. No, I guess it's the morning time in Australia. Welcome, by the way, my friends down under. Here's what I want to tell you. This will answer your question. It is weird and strange, and we see right through it, but here's how we kind of buffer. Remember, we're dealing with different personalities, right? That's what we do. So when you have scarcity, you always want to buffer it with some type of reward. For example, you know, the offer ends today, scarcity, but when you enroll, you have an extra 6 months of support, reward. Hey, I can only hold this for two days, but if you do it before 2 days, I will give you an extended home warranty. See where we're going with this? Yeah, it does. The sale does end today, but when you make that decision, I can give you 2-for-1. Scarcity reward. So you kind of buffer that. That's very important to do. Very easy to do, but very few people do that. That will make it a little more legitimate. That will resonate with more personalities when you do this. Because when you look at how to do this, there's three critical elements to make sure it's believable. So as far as create legitimate scarcity, here's the first. I mentioned it. It has to be believable. There has to be a good reason for the scarcity. Does it make sense? Is it perceived? Is it legitimate? Was the scarcity clearly defined? They need to know. I see a lot of seminars. Yeah, only first 10. Well, why? Why are you limiting it? Is it because you're offering free coaching, consulting, you don't have enough time? It has to be believable. If you just feel like they're pulling your number out of the air, you know, I've seen some people say, well, you know, the UPS lost most of them. We only have 10 in the bag. You know, there's a reason, but is that believable? Number two, freedom. When you threaten freedom, it could backfire on you and you have the opposite effect. When influenced or threatened the wrong way, it could cause your prospect to resist or do the opposite. They must feel it's their choice. That's important. If you back them into a corner, then it's going to have the opposite effect. And make sure there's alternatives. Do they need it or want it? Was there an easy alternative? Can they go to a different store? When they come back, do they feel it's still going to be available? Are things you need to ask yourself when you do this? So, homework. I want you to think that through. I want you to kind of figure out how can you create scarcity that's, remember the formula, believable. You're still giving them freedom and they have alternatives. Just kind of review. Maybe there's a limited quantity. Maybe you not limited time for you if you're doing any kind of coaching or mentoring. Lost opportunity. Look, the last time this decade, last time this century. You know, if you don't, and you see a home-based business, you got to get in before everyone else. You know, that's a sense of urgency. We're putting in 10 people tomorrow. Do you want to be above that sense of urgency? This is once-a-lifetime find. If you don't do it now, it'll be gone forever. Limit four. Right? That's an interesting one. I have a question about how to incorporate that. It's pretty simple. You have to give a reason why. I know I was doing a training for another company, the training entrepreneurs, and there was this incredible package that you know, they could buy as many as they wanted to really help their business as far as product. But when I would say limit two, it would double the amount of people that would purchase. Limit two. They would buy two. And they technically needed two, but if they thought they just needed one, could get away with one, they wouldn't. If they could say you buy as many as you want, now they only bought one. Limit two, at least 50% of them would buy two. So that's kind of an interesting case study in human nature. Now, can this backfire? Sure. If your prospect feels backed into a corner there's no immediate need, the law is not going to work. If they don't believe your scarcity sounds invented, or if they don't believe you or it sounds invented, it will backfire. It's kind of how it is. So that's kind of long today. That's scarcity. Get abused, overused, but critical. Critical, because if they can make a decision later, if they can postpone, if they can put it off, they will. It's just how we are, how we think. That is human nature. Any questions over the phone, via the net? I think I've handled a lot of the ones that have come in. Some of the other ones that have come in I've already answered. And go ahead. And I have a couple here. Let's see if there's any over the phone. There are a lot of you on Skype and on mute, so you can send those to me. That's all. And again, the recording's going to be at YPersuasion, WHYYPersuasion.com. Kirk, can you give us kind of an example, kind of a case study? I'm in the service industry. Services. Let me give you one. So I've done a lot with martial arts studios. These are people, I don't know if you're on the line, that have great talent, great skill within martial arts. But when it comes to recruiting, business, writing marketing, sales, influence, they were never trained. So I was listening to this studio, and a lot of people would call in to get information. So they'd advertise something in the newspaper, on the internet, and a potential client would call in, and they would answer the questions and let them know of all the times, there's plenty of room, whatever you want, come in. But in the reality, I asked them, the classes would fill up. But they never said that because they didn't want, you know, people to not come back. I said, no, you got to use that. Because everyone was told they're welcome to the studio, they could come by at any time and see their options. And only a small percent of these call-ins would show up to the studio. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. We talk about scarcity. This is what we did. Very simple. This is what we did. They were able to create urgency by saying, well, let's see if your son or daughter qualifies for the class. Our classes tend to fill up, and there's a qualification process that is first come, first serve. We keep it small and limit the numbers for personal individual attention. The people that called in would show up, and their enrollment doubled just by incorporating. So now they had to persuade them, just like we talked about that with banks and a few other people, where it just switched the roles. Banks are great at it. So you have to persuade a bank. They need your business, but you're all nervous to get the loan because they know the position they got you in. So it's kind of a reversed role. Good question. Any more questions? Someone joking about the furniture stores. It's true. It's amazing, but it works. There'll be a time when it doesn't work anymore, but for now it works. People don't believe it. It doesn't matter. Because I know you've been someplace. Selling today, last one in your size. We'll never get it again. You're like, yeah, whatever. Because I know that it even happened to me where I was looking at a car and they said, you know, someone else is going to come get it. Someone else is going to come get it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll come back. I'll have the money tomorrow. I'm like, you know, whatever. And I came back and it was gone. So I think we've been burned enough times to know that it could be true, especially if you follow that formula we talked about before. As far as making sure it's believable, they still have their freedom and they know that there's really no other alternative for them. Again, that's why the ones on TV say not available in stores. Not available in stores. So that's part of the process. So that's what I want you to work on. Have some fun with it. Use it in the right way. Yeah, I guess enough. It's abuse, I know. But you know, I work with seminar speakers. It's one of the first things you do is you crank up social validation and scarcity, and that's the first thing we always do because that makes the biggest difference. So good questions today, good call. Remember, whypersuasion.com, you can post questions, send me questions. You can find replay lines. Something weird's happened with me on an airplane, I'll post a replay. If I'm out of the country, I will put it on there. But for the most time, I will try to make these live. So go out there, learn to persuade with power, and go out and make the world a better place. Good night, everyone. And for those in Australia and Japan, good morning.